WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in Los Angeles, where city workers have joined striking actors, writers, and hotel employees on picket lines. Correspondent Mark Strassman is at LAX.
Strikers are up bright and early. We're also hearing there's a caravan that could be driving around the airport to disrupt traffic, which is bound to tick some people off. But hundreds of thousands of workers, just like these folks, are around the country, are just demanding higher wages and benefits.
The 24-hour workout delays garbage pickup. Custodians have stopped cleaning public bathrooms, and at least some public school pools, that is, are closing. The mayor says city emergency police and firefighting services will continue. Heavy thunderstorms turned deadly along the East Coast. One person in Alabama was killed by a lightning strike. Another in South Carolina hit by a falling tree. This woman in Knoxville, Tennessee, grabbed her dog.
I noticed the shift in the rain and the wind, and my power flickered. And at that point, you know, I just grabbed him and we got in the bathtub.
About 300,000 customers still have no power. An update on a massive brawl with racial overtones. CBS's Jim Krasula reports.
Several arrest warrants have been issued related to a fight along the riverfront in Montgomery, Alabama that quickly escalated. Videos show a group of white people attacking a black dock worker after he asked them to move their pontoon boat. Several of the man's co-workers came to his defense.
Just in from the Caribbean, the U.S. Embassy in Haiti says it has closed after gunfire nearby. All personnel have been restricted to embassy compounds. It comes after months of violence by gangs who've driven thousands of Haitians onto the streets to demand security. An American nurse and her young daughter were kidnapped last month. Their captors are demanding $1 million in ransom. New research finds mammograms aren't always a good thing. CBS's Cammie McCormick explains.
This study out of Yale Medical School finds women 70 and older who underwent mammograms were more apt to be diagnosed with tumors, posing no threat to their health. More than 30% of breast cancer cases were overdiagnosed, and as age increased, so did the possibility, up to 54% in those 85 and older.
In Bray, Ireland, Sinead O'Connor fans lined the street in front of her childhood home to pay respects as her casket passed by.
After seeing and living her whole journey, she inspired me to be more myself.
Her funeral was led by an Islamic scholar. The singer's body was found at her London apartment last month. Dow down 386. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. Parents in Waukesha schools are required to make a decision by the end of tomorrow regarding whether they want to transfer their children to a different school. The district is making the offer due to certain classes at specific schools nearing 30 students each. Overcrowding is evident in third grade classes at Higher, fifth grade classes at Hawthorne, and third, fourth, and fifth grade classes at Bethesda. The question of funding for the Milwaukee Brewers ballpark renovations is causing a debate. Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley suggests using county sales tax money, while another county board supervisor advocates for state taxpayer funds. There's also a proposal to reintroduce the 5-county sales tax to support the renovations. The Brewers estimate the cost of improvements to be around $400 million. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Wattles.
She's the newest of 7 elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 540 AM WAUK. UK.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Obama anger interpreter was one of the best. And so I don't know what that would look like as a Wisconsin version for Tony Evers. Greg, get on it. Tony Evers as Homelander.
We've unlocked Oplander.
That's it, Oplander.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
How much money, insider knowledge, and or name recognition do we expect candidates to have when running for office? 844-967-2789. We have, I asked because as of this morning, well, actually, officially it'll be tonight, the GOP in Wisconsin has a contender, or at least a candidate, really out of left field. So we've been talking about this on and off. We're less than a year away from the Republican primary for U.S. Senate to run against Tammy Baldwin. And I was searching through headlines this morning, and I'm a little, it probably is indicative of people's expectations in general that this was not a top headline and it was a little buried. But as Wisconsin Republicans search for a viable contender to challenge Tammy Baldwin, a 40-year-old college student in Stevens Point is poised to become the first Republican to officially announce a bid for the seat.
Bold move.
Bold move. So I'm hoping that I'm going to pronounce her name right. Rajani Ravindran? We're going to stay with that. Is the chair of the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point College Republicans. And she plans to officially launch her run against Tammy Baldwin tonight in Portage County. And this would make her the first candidate in Wisconsin to announce. And I read this, and the optimistic side of me is like, good for her. You know, and we want, as we try to recruit, we encourage people to run for office, right?
And younger people.
And younger people and new faces and stuff. And it's a good thing to encourage people to run and not have the imposter syndrome of you need money, you need connections, you need, you know, the blessing and kiss the ring and all this stuff. And the cynical side of me is also like, oh, God, good luck. And it just brings up the question, you know, and I think of this because of my firsthand experience of when my husband, Mike, ran for mayor in the special election in 2022. Yes.
22.
And, you know, no political experience. Did not. It was basically me and him running, or me, him and I running his campaign. And I think a lot of people, whether some to his face, but certainly behind his back, were like, what the hell are you doing, man?
Dude, you're never going to win.
And because to run a successful campaign, especially against someone like Chevy, in such a high-profile case, you had people who their entire lives are spent running campaigns. They raise massive amounts of money. You think about even the people whose names have been thrown out so far for the Republican candidacy for Senate. It's either like millionaire/billionaires who may not have name recognition, or some of the politicians who've been in the game enough that they do have some name recognition and understand how the game works.
Right.
And so it's interesting. I would love to hear your thoughts on someone who is this much of an outsider. Is this a good thing? Regardless if you think she has a chance or not. But as far as like how much is it optimistic to think that a candidate like this could have a chance? Or are you more cynical like I am, where it's like, at this stage, to run for a statewide office like U.S. Senate, you need either money, connections, or name recognition to have any kind of chance. 844-967-2789. Thoughts, Jane Mettner?
Well, I give her a lot of credit for even taking a stab at it, because that takes some nerve. But I don't see how this is possible. It all comes down to money. It is about cash.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the connections to the big donors, I don't think
you don't have your own money or connections.
Right. I mean, look at who is the carpetbagger who just with all the money who lives in Connecticut. I'm drawing a blank on his
name. Michaels?
Yeah, Tim Michaels. He's loaded. And he couldn't win.
Yeah.
So,
which is unfortunate, right?
For sure.
And the fact that that now is the barrier is such a barrier to entry to people, because on the one hand we say we want younger people, we want people who are, you know, outside of the system, we want new ideas,
right?
And yet we've set up a system where the obstacles in place are you have to be part of it in order to run. Because so just a little bit more about her, but like she hasn't. She was interviewed by the Journal Sentinel. This was published this morning by Lawrence and Andrea. And he interviewed her. And she sounds like a Republican. But she certainly sounds like the balls on this woman is immense.
For sure.
But she told the Journal Sentinel she hasn't spoken with many elected Republicans about her planned Senate run. And she hasn't been in touch with the National Republican Senatorial Committee. And she expects other people to get in the primary. But like even that part of like even the procedural, I've talked to the right people to do this. And is that a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, I think on its face, I say it's a bad thing that if you want to run, you should be able to run. And that what keeps people from running is all these kind of like conventional wisdom that is like, well, if you have no money, you have no name recognition, you have no experience, and you haven't even talked to the right people yet, like, what are you doing?
Good luck.
844-967-2789. But a little bit more about her. So her quote was what I think a lot of people, when they first are running, say, I see what's going on in our country. I realize how much D.C. is dominated by these polished politicians. I realize there is a need for change in our political system. We need some new faces with new ideas. And I agree with her.
I think a lot of people would agree with that.
And, you know, but we've created a system where you have to be an insider and connected, I think, to be. And so the outsiders that we ever consider, minus Barack Obama as president in 2008, considering he was only. But he was even a senator by that point.
Right.
He was a junior senator.
But he was elected
the federal office. I'm trying to think of other outsiders outsiders, quote unquote, who don't have a lot of money. And I mean, like a lot of money, where they are, you know, Meg Whitman and Ron Johnson had a ton of money when he ran and hadn't held office before. Like, who are the people who've been examples of run for a statewide office without experience or money and have been successful? 844-967-2789. If you can give me an, if I'm blanking, I'm blanking on anyone. But I also don't, I'm not a repository of information like this.
Well, but I also think it's such a shame that we're trapped with this money issue because, again, the inference is if you're rich, then you're obviously intelligent enough to do anything, which is not accurate.
Which is not accurate. But is it that you're intelligent? Some people might think that. If you've been successful in business,
you're smart.
That somehow reflects that you could be a successful politician, which I maintain is not true. Because when you're a CEO, it's very different than having to build, like, compromise and, like, negotiate.
Exactly.
Versus, like, the buck stops with me. This is what we're doing. Go do it. But I don't, like, but I think the money, because I think it comes back to the money thing. It's like, well, if they have... Not only do they have money, like Tim Michaels put, as he lamented after he lost, of how much money he put into his own campaign. Ron Johnson put money into his own campaign and now is paying himself back. I don't know. Did Trump in 2016 put some of his own money into his campaign?
I'm sure he said he did. Whether or not that's accurate remains to be seen.
But not only that, if, you know, the likeness flies with likeness or whatever that cliche is, as far as if you are a billionaire... You have billionaire friends.
Yep.
Like you have
that you
people
can ask,
you,
that
can
you can ask
for
money.
And so, yeah, so I'm just interested as far as hats off to her for especially for being the first one to even announce because no one else has had the guts to actually like pull the trigger yet. But also, what does it say about us and the political system we've created that I think most people's reaction is good luck with that. And
well, and because you're not wrong. And I keep thinking about Brad Peff, who lost to Derek Van Orden, and people were blaming the Wisconsin or the DNC
the DCCC
for not giving him enough support,
as they should, because
that was their candidate.
Well, it was a much closer race than they expected, and you know, I think in general the support. And now that has there been an update on Derek Van Orden? Has those videos come out yet?
No.
The kind of
never happened.
Well, it certainly did happen. I just didn't know if people were still talking about it or not because that lasted longer than I thought it would.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
About a week.
Yeah, I thought that lasted longer than I thought it would in the first place. Anyways, if you have thoughts on the first GOP candidate for Senate, who will be announcing tonight, who is a mother of three. She's going to Stevens Point College right now. She's an immigrant. In the reality, there's actually some similarities with her and Nikki Haley that I want to get into after the break. That I don't know. Maybe it would behoove the Wisconsin GOP to get behind this woman. Who knows? All right, 844-967-2789. We'll be back right after the break.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. High temperatures reach up to 83. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows level off around 60 tonight. Mainly clear skies. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 83. Overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 72 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And we are talking about the first candidate to announce for Senate, U.S. Senate, to run against Tammy Baldwin. And likely, you very, very likely, you have not heard of her before because she is the epitome of an outsider. Her name is Rajani Ravindran. And there was an article that came out this morning in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel saying that she plans to announce tonight in Portage County. And the discussion is, how cynical have we become that I think probably most people's reactions is, ooh.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with that. And so when it's, you know, a high profile race like this, on the one hand, we want to say anyone can run. But we have not set it up so that anyone can run. But would love to hear from you on thoughts on such an outsider running. And, you know, is it optimistic to think that this would be a good thing to have someone to get behind someone who is so outside of the system that we've created? 844-967-2789. But some more information about Ravindran, if you would like to know a little bit more about her. She's the mother of three and has not been involved in politics until recently. She joined the Stevens Point College Republicans this year and plans to graduate with a bachelor's degree in political science next year. Immigrated to the U.S. from India in 2011, where when she was in India, she was a nurse and a midwife. She lived in California before moving to Wisconsin in 2017. She became a U.S. citizen in 2015, so that means she'll have been a citizen for 9 years in 2024, which is the minimum number you need to be a senator. She supported Donald Trump in 2016 and 2020 and says that she is supporting him again in 2024. So those are some of the details that came out about her as a person in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article. Her campaign, if you're interested, will focus on securing the border and cracking down on illicit drugs like fentanyl, stopping illegal immigration, which I, you know, there's probably stuff to get in there as far as her being an immigrant and the process she went through and how hard she knows how hard it is to
go through that process.
Yes. And so that's interesting to me. And advocating for medical freedom. Suggesting she is opposed to vaccine mandates. And the one thing that came out in the article is like, oh, that sounds like a politician. Like, you're going to be fine. And she was asked whether she believed President Joe Biden won the 2020 election.
And?
Quote, "You know something? That is a great question. I'm still learning about that. I am still learning about that particular thing."
Because nobody's been talking about it.
No one's been talking about it the last couple of years. The last 3 years at all.
Let me get, I'll get back to you on that one.
She sounds like Rhonda McDaniel. And like, who was interviewing Rhonda McDaniel when she basically would not admit that Joe Biden was, she was like, she admitted that Joe Biden was president, but she did would not admit that it was a fair and free election. And I was like, oh, you've been taking notes. But yes, she claimed that there were clearly some issues with the election and added, "How can I say yes or no when I have no clarification about that problem?"
Well, there were a whole bunch of court cases, like 63 of them, and 62 of them got thrown out.
Yep. Half the population says it will be this way. Half the population says it will be that way.
No.
Before I make a comment about that, I need to be certain about what I'm thinking. So at least that part she's...
She's a natural. She's a natural there.
And so I do appreciate the attitude, though, because she said, "I do think that some of the people are going to jump in the race at any time, but that is not my concern. Rather than sitting on the couch watching TV and complaining about it, I want to do something. That is the reason I am running." And I can get behind that.
Well,
and
sure.
I am hoping that in general, I think about all of the different people that we interviewed who are first-time candidates for Assembly or State Senate last fall, so 2022, and the recruitment of getting people to run and getting, I mean, like that kind of brazen attitude, especially from women, of like, why not me? That is what I do applaud about, regardless of what a hill this is going to be climbed, regardless if she ends up getting backing from, you know, the powers that be are like, well, at least we got someone. But so no matter what happens, I think the attitude of why not me is something that should be applauded. And I hope that more people adopt, you know, maybe not for Senate necessarily, but there's going to be a lot of positions to run for.
Sure.
I mean, we have, I don't even know what's all up for. I know the mayoral race and the county executive race. So, like, we have a bunch of nonpartisan races that will be up again in 2024 for the spring. And then, obviously, depending on how this redistricting case goes, we're going to have a lot of seats up, more than normal, for the fall of 2024. And speaking of that, Nicole Safar, who is the executive director of Law Forward, which is the liberal-leaning legal firm that is filing and is taking charge of the redistricting case that got filed last Tuesday. She's going to be here at 11 o'clock. And so we're going to get more details about the strategy behind the case, what the case is, what the lawsuit is arguing, the different scenarios of how this could end up depending on the ruling. So that's coming up at 11. At 11:30, we got, so I'm doing a fundraiser on Sunday. I guess we haven't talked about this enough.
We haven't.
But our friend Megan Johnson, who is the executive director and founder of Milwaukee Diaper Mission, is going to be here because Mike and I are throwing a fundraiser. We're going to try to get some diapers for Milwaukee mamas. So we'll do that at 11:30. And coming up next, it's Tuesday. It's 10:30. It's time to recombobulate with Dan Schaefer. So we'll be back in just a minute with Mr. Schaefer. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Public bathrooms in L.A. won't be as clean today. Garbage will sit in the street and public swimming pools may be off limits, with city workers staging a 24-hour strike. Union rep Gilda Valdez.
We took these measures to send a very strong message, but at the end of the day, they will be back to work and continue to work very hard as they always do.
Cleanup underway from Alabama to New York after deadly thunderstorms swept through. CBS's Meg Oliver is north of Baltimore.
The cleanup is just beginning. There is some good news. It seems as if the travel disruptions are starting to get back to normal, and the power outages have reduced significantly along the East Coast to around 350,000.
In Montgomery, Alabama, arrest warrants have been issued in a massive brawl on the riverfront that began with a group of white people pummeling a black dock worker who tried to get a pontoon boat to move along. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network, civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Who should pay for fixing the Milwaukee Brewers ballpark? Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley thinks using county sales tax money is the way. One county board supervisor thinks state taxpayers should pay, with another wanting to bring back the five county sales tax to fund the renovations. County Executive Crawley is proposing a new plan to use some of the county's new sales tax revenue to fund repairs for American Family Field. The Brewers estimate the ballpark requires about $400 million in improvements. Old style beer is heading back home. Multiple news sources in La Crosse say that old-style brewing operations will shift to La Crosse from Milwaukee this November. It marks a homecoming for Old Style, as it was initially brewed by the G. Heilman Brewing Company in La Crosse starting in 1902. It's been brewed in Milwaukee for the past 24 years. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Metnair. And that music means it is time to recombobulate with the one and only Dan Schaefer. How are you, friend?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing
Always
well.
Good to be here.
Doing well. You know, just...
Seven weeks away.
Yeah, we're 7 weeks away. And so I said to Jane this morning, I was like, I think I've entered the uncomfortable stage of pregnancy as far as just being tired all of the time. And so
I'm sure it's been super comfortable up until this point too. So
and you actually, you know what? And we're going to talk about it later today with Megan Johnson. I think part of the reason we're doing this fundraiser to do diapers is because I felt really lucky in that, like, it has been a fairly smooth pregnancy. But now
well,
it has been good. But now I'm like, oh, this is starting to get uncomfortable. But we're managing.
Starting to get real.
So speaking of children and childcare, how's that for a segue?
Nice. That was smooth.
Breaking
Radio
news.
Professional over here. Yeah.
Breaking news this morning. Oplander, a.k.a. Governor Evers, has called his first special session of his second term to address the state's chronic workforce challenges. And so this happened literally, I think, as I was driving to work this morning. I know you've already tweeted about this a little bit. So what you've probably read more of the press release than I did as far as what this entails. So what do you understand this special session to involve?
Yeah, so kind of the main headline of it is that it is calling the special session to, quote, address state's chronic workforce challenges. So that includes more than $1 billion investment out of the state's remaining $4 billion surplus. And kind of the top item of that is that more than $365 million would go towards child care programs. And then if you go down through the rest of the press release, the rest of the investment proposed here by the governor, it, you know, kind of calls back to a number of the proposals that he had in the budget that Republicans voted out. So we have creating a paid family leave and medical program, a number of items in higher education funding, including $66 million for the UW system, $197 million for the new engineering building at UW-Madison, $40 million for the technical college system, and then extending some workforce innovation grant programs, $60 million for healthcare workforce shortages, $16 million for teacher shortages. So it's a really, you know, across the board workforce item here in a lot of different issues, child care, health care, and education kind of being the top pieces there. And then I think, yeah, the biggest chunk of that funding and the top item that was highlighted in Governor Evers' press conference on this was on child care. So most of this would go towards the child care counts funding that Republicans voted out of the state budget at 2:30 in the morning during the Joint Finance Committee budget cycle.
And we should note that, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but even since that happened, there has been multiple child care centers that have closed. And yeah. And so this is good. I mean, I think that it comes back. We all know that basically every single special session that he being Governor Evers called for in his first term, am I overstating saying that in every single one they just gaveled in and gaveled out? Did any of them actually have a discussion?
There was a couple where they gaveled in and then took no action. So this was kind of like during the pandemic when people weren't like physically present in the Capitol, where they would gavel in and then just do nothing. So basically none of the special sessions, I think one special session on unemployment insurance, and this was like after their 300-day break in 2020 that they actually did something. So I think I think 13 special sessions resulted in signed legislation, but by and large, it has been gavel in, gavel out. Is that what's going to happen when this special session happens on September 20th? I mean, would we really expect Robin Voss and the Wisconsin state legislature to do anything differently? I don't know.
That's why we got to start calling now.
Yeah, I'm calling I'm, now.
Call I mean, now and call them every single day.
Because, and I'm this is a genuine question. Has there been any Republican plan beyond the argument that by cutting taxes to quote unquote job creators, that will create more jobs? And I guess the cutting unemployment, cutting Medicaid, what other policy solutions has been presented by Republicans to address workforce issues? Lowering the age so that 14-year-olds can deliver drinks. But I'm not trying to be snarky. I'm actually asking, like, what, because a lot of this stuff, obviously, I think I agree with as far as these are different things that could address our workforce issues. And I'm trying to understand what they have presented as like, well, this is what we think would actually improve our workforce issues. Do you know?
Yeah, I think that there's been some things here and there on just kind of deregulating the process of, you know, different licensing issues or things like that, which I think is kind of actually kind of interesting. But by and large, they have not had any kind of comprehensive strategy. And I think the childcare issue is such a big one for workforce challenges because it, you know, so significantly impacts women, and women are at a lower rate in the labor force participation rate in the state. And I think that would change significantly if you, you know, had more options for people to have childcare. But I think this is a really interesting way to present it, where it's not just childcare, it is folding it into a larger effort to address workforce challenges at a time when we have, you know, a record low unemployment rate and employers are struggling to find people.
But we all, not only do we have a record low unemployment rate, at least when we covered this a month or so ago, we also have the first or second highest labor participation rate of working age people in Wisconsin. So it's like people are working, and I think we're still like, there's a cognitive dissonance there that people think that people aren't working. It's like, no, we just need more people, and we also need to empower and enable people who want to be working to do so by providing better support systems. Like I actually, this morning I saw this, you know, Wallet Hub always comes out with their best states, and they're like, they rank all the states for like different things on different measures. And literally this morning I saw one on best state to get to have a baby. Where do you think Wisconsin was?
I would guess not high.
I'll go 46.
No, we're not that low.
I would guess somewhere in the middle. Let's say 30.
We were 23. Okay. So I feel like a lot of those things, whenever I look at them, we're always like somewhere in the 20s. Like we're always in the middle somewhere. But the different rankings were cost, healthcare, baby friendliness, and family friendliness. And I think those are interesting measures, especially as I, you know, thinking about like baby friendliness and family friendliness and like how much are like the policies making it conducive for people to want to have children and not making it harder for you to have children. And right now it feels like we are in a state where it, as I say this as a pregnant person, it doesn't necessarily feel like we're making it easier. And you have to already be in a financially stable situation to be like, this is not daunting, the idea of having a kid right now.
Well, and what I don't understand, isn't it just common sense? Why would a young family want to move somewhere where they can't find childcare? We want people to move here, and yet we're not doing anything to encourage young families to do that.
And this is a time when our neighbors are doing something. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of similarities between, you know, the economies in Wisconsin and Minnesota or Michigan, and they're making investments in childcare in ways that our state is not. And I think, you know, I think it's really important that Evers is doing this, but it also is this same kind of argument that we seem to keep having over and over again in so many different ways, where it's just like, we have to do this or else we're falling off the cliff. We're not doing something to like position ourselves to thrive. We're not doing something to kind of flip the switch in the other direction. We're doing this to, you know, this special session, this funding for childcare will prevent closures, but is not going to create a more robust safety net type of system or support type of system for Wisconsin. And I think, you know, the paid family and medical leave goes toward that. That is a super popular policy. And I think it's going to be really interesting once this does hit the floor of the legislature, if they are going to have to, you know, protect all seats in both the Senate and Assembly. If the redistricting lawsuit goes forward, this vote will be on the record and people will be paying attention to it, you know, going forward. So I think that is a really crucial piece of this as well.
And that's why they're going to gavel in and gavel out.
That's your prediction?
Yes. So they don't have to be on the record for anything.
Yeah, the over-under for the full time of the session is about 55 seconds, right? Are you betting the over or the under?
I know. That was my the joke and video I made last fall when they had their special session. Not last fall. Was it? But when was it? When was their special session on abortion? And I literally...
Well, there were two of them. There was one in the summer and one in the fall, yeah.
I think it was the one in the fall where... And I literally went and rode a mechanical bull to see if I could stay on long enough.
I remember that.
That's right.
If I could stay on long enough. And they beat me just barely, both the Senate and the Assembly, just by like a couple seconds, as far as I'm not a strong bull rider, apparently. All right. We're recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. And to shift gears a little bit, in 2 weeks, is it? Am I timing that right? 2 weeks?
15 days.
15 days. We're going to have the first Republican presidential debate right here in Milwaukee. And it feels like it's kind of sneaking up on us. I think as of this morning, I read Vice President or former Vice President Pence has just made the cutoff. And so as of right now, there are 8 confirmed candidates who will be there. Do I have my numbers correct?
That's right. Yep. 8 confirmed candidates.
Several who you've never heard of. Who's this? Doug Bagram? Who is that guy?
Which guy?
He's the North Dakota governor.
Yeah.
I think he's the one who was paying people, right? Basically, it was like, if you give me a dollar donation, I will give you a $20 gift card.
I think there are people in North Dakota who don't know who this man is.
So the list right now is Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, Chris Christie, Tim Scott, Nikki Haley, Doug Burgum, Vivek Ramaswamy, and Mike Pence will be the 8 candidates to qualify. I think that is, you know, I was reading some analysis from Politico when the news broke about Pence last night. It looks like this is probably going to be the debate field. I think there's a couple other candidates who either haven't met the fundraising thresholds or haven't met the polling thresholds to be there. So I would guess that those will be the eight on stage in Milwaukee.
So it won't be a repeat of 2020 with like the 22 or 23 candidates that we had on stage at some point for the Democrats.
Yeah. And then they had like the two different debates where they had, I think they did this in 2015, where they had like the kind of the undercard debate of the kind of also ran candidates, and then the main stage to really
kids
get
table.
To it. So I think it'll just be the 8 this year, and I think that will make sense. But I just published a column about the primary and what I consider to be the biggest 2024 Republican presidential primary story that no one is talking about. So perhaps we can get into that.
We can definitely get into that after the break. Do you want to tease it a little bit?
Well, I think we have to. This is the first primary that we are having post January 6th.
Yep.
And I think we have not yet adjusted to the reality of a post January 6th paradigm with Donald Trump being back on the ballot in this primary.
That's a good tease.
That is a good tease.
So we will talk more about the primary. The presidential primary, and how weird is it going to get? Because this is unprecedented territory as far as the whole Trump factor. So stay with us. We are talking to Dan Schaefer, founder and editor of the Recombobulation Area, which you should subscribe to if you're not already.
It's such a deal.
This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Slide over there. So if you've got 11 days to spare, won't you come with me to the Wisconsin State Fair? Won't you come with me to the Wisconsin? The great state of Wisconsin State
There's
Fair.
Something for everyone at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 3rd through the 13th.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Chance for scattered thunderstorms this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Daytime highs approaching 83. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, lows around 60. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, slight chance for scattered thunderstorms, daytime highs approaching 83. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 72 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Cruz on 540 AM WAUK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. And so let's hear more about the story you published this morning on, you know, so often we are talking about Wisconsin politics, Milwaukee politics, but this time around, Milwaukee and Wisconsin politics are presidential and national politics, because not only are we going to host the RNC next year, but we are hosting the first Republican primary debate 15 days from now, and yeah, Civic Media will be there, by the way. So this show specifically and some of the other Civic Media shows will be broadcasting live from across the street at the Fiserv the day of the debate. So more details to come on that. Dan, maybe we'll have to have you come on the show so we can talk more about it. But let's hear more about your article and the argument that you're making.
Yeah, so I just published this column at the Recombobulation Area. The headline of the column is "The Biggest 2024 Republican Presidential Primary Story That No One Is Talking About." And so I following this campaign, looking ahead to the debate, it's going to be an interesting moment for all of these candidates to get on stage, present their message to a national audience. You know, Trump is way, way ahead in the national polling right now. So it's an opportunity for, you know, candidates like Ron DeSantis, who have really been falling in the polls in the last few weeks, to turn things around. It's an opportunity for many of the other candidates who are polling in the single digits to really meet that national audience for the first time. This is kind of the moment where these campaigns kind of come out of the diners and the county fairs of Iowa and New Hampshire and up onto the debate stage. But I feel like there's this elephant in the room that no one is talking about with this primary campaign. And that is this, is that Donald Trump's not going to concede if he were to lose. Right? We just saw what happened in 2020, where he still hasn't conceded defeat to Joe Biden in the 2020 presidential election. So if he's not going to concede to Joe Biden after an actual presidential election, do you see any scenario where he's going to concede to Ron DeSantis or Nikki Haley or Chris Christie or any of these other candidates? He's just going to keep running regardless of whether he wins or not. And if, you know, let's say things turn around for DeSantis. He builds up some momentum. He does well in this Milwaukee debate. He carries that through to Iowa and New Hampshire and starts looking like an ascendant candidate. Do you think Trump's going to say, all right, my time is done, I'm going to pass the baton and graciously ride off into the sunset? No, that's not going to, he's never going to concede. So I think it's a big deal that no one is talking about this, and no one has reflected this post-January 6th paradigm of the fact that we have a candidate who will not accept the election results.
But do you think, because I agree with you, one, that he would never concede. But two, he's so far ahead that is that the reason? Is it that people are ignoring that this is a possibility? Or is it that they're not talking about it because it doesn't seem, it seems very unlikely as of right now that there's never, ever, as far as I understand, been a candidate who was this far ahead in the polls that didn't end up winning the nomination?
Yeah, he is way ahead right now. And just to give you a scope of how far ahead he is, so I'm looking at the Real Clear Politics polling average. Trump is at 53.7%. He is 38 points ahead of Ron DeSantis, who is the next closest at 15.7%. That's down from about 30 in March, by the way. So DeSantis has been on a pretty precipitous drop in the polls. And no other candidate is above 6%. So he is. So it might not end up mattering anyway. He might just run away with the primary. But as we go, but all eyes will still be on Milwaukee on August 23rd. All eyes will be on those other candidates and what they will bring to the debate stage and what they might be able to kind of start making a dent in that lead. I think that a debate like this is much more about the other candidates than it is about Trump. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know yet if Trump's keeping everybody guessing as to whether he's going to be there. But I don't think it really matters, because even if these candidates present a great argument, make a good campaign and win some primaries, Trump's still not going to concede.
And I think it's important.
What do we do about that?
Well, and I think it's important to remember, too, Dan, that if he wins the primary and he would go on to get reelected, he is never going to leave the White House.
Oh, yeah.
Never.
Well, and even if. You know, he ran in the general again and lost again. Like, this is just the MO of this man is I did not lose. But it's like, I don't know what the media is going to do differently than they did in 2016 or even 2020. But like, with the conditions that we're in right now, as far as a presidential candidate who has 78 counts, like, he's fighting 78 counts and counting, because I think Fulton County is preparing right now for his indictment. So that's going to be added to the docket. He also, this guy has, like, potentially four different legal cases that to be balancing while he's running for president next year. So it's like, what is the responsibility of the media to treat him like a normal candidate versus not, because he is not a normal candidate? And how do you continue to talk about this? Especially because I saw this morning, data shows drop in scandal interest when it comes to Trump. So over time, the Google trends for Donald Trump and indictment with each one keeps dropping as far as how many people are interested in hearing more about it, despite the fact that I would say last week's was the most damning and the one that feels the most anti-democratic and the one that I would say the most amount of people want accountability for. And to have each, like the trend line go down is not a great sign.
Well, and I think too, you know, 8 years ago when he first started running, you heard all of this like Beltway media bloviating about the norms and Trump's assault on the norms and just like that was all hypothetical. And now it's pretty real, right? He literally didn't accept the results of the election. He literally encouraged a violent riot at the Capitol trying to overturn the election results. These are things that happened. So, and I feel like we have not adjusted to this post January 6th paradigm. This is the first primary since that happened. The same person is on the ballot. The same outcome is likely, because even if Ron DeSantis wins, even if somebody else wins the primary, he's not going to accept those results. Yeah. And until we grapple with that, this is all, this whole, the debate, the primary, all of it is little more than an exercise in political theater.
That is true. That is certainly true. All right, Dan Schaefer, anything else you want to plug or highlight before we let you go for today?
Man, there's a lot going on. I listened to the top of your show yesterday when you were talking about getting back from Vegas. Very discombobulating times that we have
man. Yes, the Supreme Court. I'm surprised you didn't write about that this week.
I might have time for that yet. We'll
see.
All right.
Well, maybe we'll talk about it next week. So certainly it's never boring. So Dan Schaefer, as always, Tuesdays at 10:30 on As Goes Wisconsin. We'd love to recombobulate with you. We'll see you next week.
Thanks so much.
All right. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, let's talk about the redistricting lawsuit with Nicole Safar, who is the executive director of Law Forward. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media weather team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.